And we're recording, so whenever you're ready.
The first show of 2019. We cover Wrestle Kingdom, Impact's Homecoming, Monday Night Raw, and Priscilla Kelly joins us. It's the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant-EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee. And right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, unfortunately.
I have a small dick.
Got it there. Woo!
Kicking off 2019, back in studio. Hey, it's the Shining Wizards Wrestling Talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Matt.
Welcome back, boys. How's it been? How was your holidays and all that good stuff?
It's great.
How are your resolutions?
I didn't resolve anything.
You didn't resolve anything.
I resolved to watch better wrestling, but unfortunately that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, hot take. Right off the
terrible.
Dick.
Tough critic.
Well, it is what it is.
No good holiday stories, anything?
Well, in fairness, I didn't watch the good wrestling. I had to pick and choose my spots because I was short on time.
But I thought you were such a huge Japanese wrestling fan.
Asshole.
If you listen to our year-end show.
Yeah. Hey, I watched so much Japanese wrestling.
That's my resolution for 2019, less Japanese wrestling. And as a matter of fact, if the dirt sheets are correct, I won't have to watch Japanese wrestling to watch Japanese superstars anymore because they all are coming to the United States. Can you dig that?
Well, sucker!
We are live on the Rant, rantemradio.com. And, I mean, it's only fitting that All Elite Wrestling, they had their pep rally today. New Year's Day, they announced that they will be...
A lot of kids making out under the bleachers.
Forming a promotion, of course.
That's it. That's how pep rallies go,
hey,
baby.
You know, it doesn't change as you get older.
That's true. Just get sloppier.
Exactly. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you speak for yourself.
That's it.
But as we were getting ready for the show, the pep rally took place down in Jacksonville. Cody, Hangman Page, the Bucks.
We unfortunately did not get invited.
We did not get the invite, unlike some people on our network. They got VIP special treatment access. Right. And I don't know if you saw, they broke the news. They're the only people that I've seen break the news. But... Kenny Omega.
The Rant didn't break any news?
No, I didn't see any breaking news from the Rant.
Wow.
No, Kenny Omega is...
Such credible news sources.
He's going to AEW.
Really?
That's according to the people on the network who get invited to all the big shindigs.
Titties.
They might see some titties, too. You
hey,
never know.
The Jaguars cheerleaders, man.
We don't get invited to stuff anymore, Matt.
I don't know.
Remember we used to get invited to like WrestleCon and PWS Super Shows and Tier 1 and...
Who?
What?
Why?
We don't get invited anywhere anymore.
No, they don't want us any. We're not on the VIP list.
Nope. We suck.
But it is what it is. But a huge pep rally.
Yes!
And they introduced a lot of people that have signed with AEW.
Now, yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, please.
Conrad Thompson was there. Is he involved? Is he like a money guy? Is he just there because he's Cody's boy?
He's doing all of their mortgages.
Well, it's a smart man to have do your mortgages, apparently.
As an aside, have you ever seen... You know he's the mortgage guy. He does the commercials around Alabama.
No, I just made the joke totally random.
All right.
Conrad has his own... he does his own mortgage stuff?
What? All right, fuck you,
Matt. Did he do yours?
No. You know what? I tried, but he doesn't do Jersey. And they recommended me to somebody else, and I didn't want that. I wanted Conrad or Bruce to do my mortgage.
That's it.
Well, you better help out Conrad, because Alabama got their shit kicked in fucking over the weekend in the championship.
Yeah, they did. Sports Tony showed up Saturday, too, and we had our little podcast meeting.
Roll Tide.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony. I'm here on the sidelines, and this game sucks a bag of dicks.
Sassafras.
Roll Tide.
I don't know what Conrad's involvement is.
Well, he was there making a lot of the announcements.
Yeah, he's probably the MC.
That'd be awesome.
Him and Alex Marvez. Why does that name? Who is Alex?
Isn't he a wrestling writer?
That's what I thought. I might be confusing him and Brian Alvarez.
That's the first thing that popped into my head. But
I know
sure.
The name Alex Marvez too, and I'm probably going to kick myself when I realize who it actually is.
He has been an NFL beat writer for 8 years. The last four covering the Dolphins.
Well, there you go.
The Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel.
Okay, so then maybe he's now affiliated with the Jaguars. Maybe they're beat writer.
Rawr.
Because why else would you have him there?
He's part of Fox Sports as well.
Well, that'll probably do it.
Well, wait, didn't Fox Sports just sign WWE?
I'm just telling you what I found.
No, well, I mean, it makes sense if you're covering it from a local news perspective down there. It is a sports story in Florida.
Down where?
Hey, yo.
I like Kevin's impressions. He's got to do more of them.
If this is the Alec Marvez that was at the press conference, I didn't get to watch because I was driving. He is a senior NFL writer at foxsports.com. He's covered the NFL since 95, stints with the Bengals, Broncos, Dolphins.
And he works for Sirius XM, it looks like?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. He was down there with our boys from the High Spots.
There you go.
There you go.
Only... Yeah, he was out there, beingtheelite.com.
So Kevin actually watched a bunch of it. You got some tidbits and some things that you want to lay on us?
I watched it start to finish. It was a really fun atmosphere. You could tell that the fans were definitely excited about it. At first, it didn't look like there was a whole lot of people there, but like their camera angles or whatever. I don't know how many people they said they had, but they said over 100,000 were watching on various streaming sites, YouTube, you know, everything like that. First thing we see is SCU officially announced that they have signed. That's Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky, which was cool to see. A lot of the stuff was heavily rumored for a while, so it didn't really drop any jaws except for maybe one or two things.
Well, you saw a lot of stuff on Being the Elite, too.
Yeah.
Everything leading up to this pep rally today. They kind of planted the seeds for on Being the Elite. I do think it's interesting that there was no mention of Kenny Omega. And they did, they kind of teased it in Being the Elite with just Kenny's watch was just kind of there and it was kind of ticking down to what? It's unknown.
Kenny's watch?
Yeah.
Like, is that a gimmick thing or is this like, hey, this is Kenny's watch?
It was his watch.
How does that even happen?
He lost it. You have to watch. You have to watch Being the Elite.
Yeah, I know.
You have to.
I know. As opposed to the 5,000 other things that I didn't get a chance to watch.
Oh my God, you are just cranked today, man.
It's a good complaint, but there's an awful lot of fucking wrestling out there now.
No, there absolutely is.
Not a bad problem to have, but it is when you're short on time.
Which is actually funny because I was in the middle of watching NXT UK because their first takeover is happening this Saturday.
Holy shit.
So I was in the middle of watching NXT UK the last couple episodes, and then all of a sudden I remembered the Being the Elite rally was happening today at 5, so I had to switch over. So I had to turn off wrestling to watch a wrestling conference. But I probably will go back and watch some NXT UK just so I can be apprised of what's happening this Saturday. And then, of course, Nigel McGuinness's documentary will be.
Right.
Right.
I want to kill my baby mama. I love my kid. I'll see you next week.
Hear that exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Yeah.
I do feel terrible for him. He got himself into a bad situation.
Nah, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, everything. It comes out in the wash, right, Kev?
That's it. What?
You never heard of that? It all comes out in the wash? What?
That's what a washing machine does.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of which, mine's been busted for a week now. I'm finally getting my new one on Saturday.
Yeah, and you're not even excited for it.
Pisses like an incontinent old woman. Are you kidding me?
Well, I told you, take your kid, take your goddamn video game away from him. Let's go fucking Emmett Otter, Jug Band Christmas style. Send him out there with a wash tub. Right in a hole in the wash tub.
Put a hole in the wash tub.
Well, there's a hole in the washer.
Yeah, well, that's why he has to use the wash tub. Tell him you don't want to smell like the fucking couch after sour after sour milk Phil sat on it. You better take them clothes outside and wash them.
Really?
What?
You're the fucking worst.
I'm not the worst. I didn't stink up your fucking couch.
Fuck you.
Breaking down the fourth wall.
But you should have just had Danny Moff come over and roll around on it.
That motherfucker smells sweet as the day's new.
Smells good. That's a good smelling dude.
Awesome. I got to find his witch lady in Newark to go get some of that oil.
I never got into the man cologne.
It's not even cologne. It's like an essence.
It's like his natural moffness.
I bet you he wakes up in the morning and he smells exactly the same way. Like it just emanates from him.
There's only one way to find out. Wow. Kevin, undercover.
What?
Who?
No.
No?
Wow.
All right.
So, wait, let's go down the list of things Kevin won't do.
All right.
Lay down with Dan Moff.
Right.
Eat Bean Boozles.
Get chopped by Dan Moff.
Get chopped by... What else is there? There's got to be other good stuff.
I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff I won't do.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff Kevin won't do.
Yeah.
But and it's neither here nor there.
Keep his keys in his pocket when he goes outside at night.
Oh, he went there.
Hi-o.
He's looking for him now. He can't find
him. No, I'm thinking the smell is coming in.
Oh, you're so fucking paranoid. Fucking Jill the washer lady.
Are you going to say jizz?
Fucking stinkopotamus over there. Fucking paranoid douches.
Holy shit.
Can we talk about who they announced that being part of All Elite Wrestling?
Yes.
It was very, very cool. I think the first major announcement was actually the first person that they announced as, I think, signing was this group from China. They're called like the Good Hearts. Apparently, they're these. Yeah, but that's what was the first announcement.
I'll Google the Good Hearts. Well, was it? I know they announced Britt Baker over the weekend too.
Yeah, that was later. I mean, that was later, and I'm just talking in terms of the rally. Britt Baker, obviously, MJF. MJF was interrupted Conrad, made fun of our friend Conrad.
That's a good call. And then Pedo Bear came out and messed with him?
Yep. And then...
His name is Bernard the Business Bear.
It's a Pedo Bear, dude.
It's not a Pedo Bear.
It's Pedo Bear.
Unless Rude Boy Riley's under that thing, it's not a Pedo Bear.
Matt with the fucking home runs tonight. Holy shitballs.
And then former two-time guest of the Shining Wizards.
Two-time.
Two-time in-studio guest of the Shining Wizards.
Two-time.
Joey Janela makes his presence known, attacking MJF with a crutch right in the back. So Janela, Penelope are there. MJF is there.
Hangman Page is there.
Hangman Page, Neville, the former Neville, Pac is there.
I like how Neville came out in his
gear.
His gear. With his Dragon Gate. Championship
gear.
You see Billy Gunn and BJ Whitmer.
Wow.
That's hard to say. Billy Gunn and BJ Whitmer are the producers.
That makes sense.
That's
why
cool.
BJ probably left
Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And the Bear.
I just realized I said BJ.
BJ and the Bear.
BJ.
But he's married to my new favorite wrestler, Kelly Klein.
Oh, BJ is?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Interesting. I know that is your new favorite wrestler.
Yeah, Kelly Klein's my favorite. Followed
and Billy's son was there, too.
Who's Billy's son?
Austin Gunn.
Oh, Billy's son.
Yeah, Billy's son.
He said Billy's son.
Yeah, I thought you meant there was one of the Chinese guys.
Yeah, he's one of the Good Hearts.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Billy's son.
Billy's son. Fuck. I don't have the Orient Express music.
Okay. It's better.
Barry Fuck, in sports
entertainment. Yeah, that's okay. We got it.
With the fucking gong in the beginning.
It's Orient Express music.
Oh, demolition.
Billy's son is going to be a producer for All Elite Wrestling.
No, Billy's son is going to wrestle.
What's his son's name?
What do they got against Billy's son? Why can't Billy... You don't think just because he's Chinese or Japanese, he can't be a good wrestling producer?
His son's name is Austin.
Ah. That's a terrible name for Austin's son.
No, Austin...
Austin's son.
Austin Gunn is Billy's son.
Oh, Billy's son. Wait, so Austin Gunn is Billy's son?
Yeah,
Kevin, like I'm more amazed that Matt was able to get that out without stuttering.
It's like Dusty Rhodes and Yellow Dog.
If you will, Daddy.
They're the same person.
Well, I'm excited to see what Billy's son can do.
I'm excited to see what AEW does.
And let's not forget Chris Jericho to cap off the whole night. He is all in with All Elite Wrestling. So...
That's pretty huge. I think it's pretty huge news.
It's big news, yeah, absolutely.
And I think this, like, say what you want about Impact and Ring of Honor and New Japan, I think this, without even knowing a whole lot, automatically jumps to the number two promotion.
The number new.
The number new.
The number new.
The number new. The number new. The number new. The number new.
First thing that popped into my head was fucking Stranglemania. Lama Nama Noomi.
Lama Nama Noomi.
Lama Nama Nama Noomi.
Yeah, you think this puts them up there, number two?
I mean, depending on what their actual objectives are. And again, we're really, really new into it. So, So, it had a really special feeling around it, the conference of the rally. So, I'm very super excited for All Elite Wrestling. I'm actually really pumped for it. Let's see where they go.
Well, May 25th, the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, they'll be doing their first show at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then apparently they announced via Twitter this will also be the same weekend as StarCast 2. So that's probably where Conrad
fits in.
And they also announced they're going to do a second show in Jacksonville, but they didn't really provide further details. But it was noted that a large portion of the gate will go towards benefiting victims of gun violence.
Yep.
So, and man, we are on the mailing list. We got an email today just explaining what the Jacksonville Jaguar owner and his son, what their involvement with the promotion is. So they're the money guys. They came out and said it.
The son is basically Billy's son is basically the head backer of this promotion.
He would be
Tony's son. Tony's son.
I thought that was me.
So Shining Wizards Tony's son.
I watch a wrestling.
Tony Khan.
Very
the cousin of Tony's son.
Roll a tide.
Roll a tide. The best was when MJF put his gum on Conrad's forehead and said, "Hold this, turkey tits."
Turkey tits, nice. Nice, which is so, oh man, this is such an exciting time.
Yes, it is.
For professional wrestling fans, AEW is going to give you an alternative. Ring of Honor is an alternative. Impact's an alternative. New Japan Pro Wrestling is an alternative. It's interesting because Jericho said in his post match press conference after Wrestle Kingdom that
what was left of his face, mind you.
He wants to go after Tanahashi's IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and there's already some early rumor and speculation that G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden will be the last working event between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor.
Whew.
With the assumption being that
New Japan's going to work with All Elite,
yes.
That's kind of fucked for Ring of Honor then, no?
Not really, because Ring of Honor's made some pretty huge signings. It will never be what it was at the height of the 90s with WWF and WCW trying to sign people. But all these companies now are getting into the niche of signing individual companies. Competitors. Bandido was a very hot commodity, and a lot of people wanted him, including AEW, when he went to Ring of Honor. They just signed PCO. They just signed Brody King.
I just hope these fucking guys are making money. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's another point from the press conference where Cody made it an extremely noticeable point where these wrestlers will be getting paid. Like, they're going to make a lot of money. Those are his words, not mine. Like, it's going to focus on the wrestlers getting paid. And he also mentioned, or I think Brandy mentioned, that the female wrestlers and the male wrestlers will be at equal pay. There will be no slide. So they want to make sure the wrestlers make money, and I guess, I mean, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars can make that happen.
Yeah, I would hope, though, it's not a situation where they're just going to let guys slack off because they're all getting, like, you know, better pay. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's going to be like WCW.
No, I would just hope that they would have some sort of incentive where, like, hey, we're paying you well. We expect the best out of you.
Well,
you know
this is all going to depend on how many dates they actually have to work. We don't know that yet. We don't know any of the specifics. They could be making good money and only working once or twice a month. But, I mean, it sounds like they're signing, like, exclusive contracts.
And that's the thing. If they're only working once or twice a month, you know, these guys got to make a living. They better be getting some serious bank for those once or twice a month.
That's what I'm saying. It seems that way. But going back to the whole ending of the New Japan Ring of Honor relationship, Ring of Honor has always been there. But am I off base saying that their relationship with New Japan put them on another level?
I don't think you're far off base.
It's going to hurt them not having New Japan.
They do the Global War shows a couple times a year. But I mean, you didn't really see a New Japan presence at Final Battle. If you're not counting the Elite as New Japan performers.
See, that's what you have to take in, like, yeah. It's weird, because I kind of do consider them New Japan performers and not Ring of Honor.
It'll be interesting to see what, as the days and the weeks progress, as to what this is going to mean for everybody. Because on the flip side, New Japan Pro Wrestling lost the Elite.
Yeah.
They're all out.
Yeah.
With the exception of Marty, who still works at Ring of Honor.
And, yeah.
Kushida retired. Kenny Omega is not retired, excuse me. Kushida's leaving.
He's leaving.
Kenny Omega says he's done with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Is he done, or is he like, I'm done, I've had enough, because he lost?
There's a lot of speculation.
Swerve City. Not Swerve Strip.
And nothing has been set in stone yet. With all due respect to people that are reporting things, until you are a reputable wrestling website, I won't believe a word that's said out there.
What are you talking about? Sportskeeda is fucking amazing.
Some people, there's so much speculation out there. Some people think the Kenny Omega leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling is part of a storyline. There's others who think that WWE offered him like a $23 million contract where he has complete creative control over his character.
Where did they come up with this?
A WWE championship run, stuff with the video game companies and
that
YouTube stuff. And there's reports that they've had Finn and AJ in Kenny's ears. And then, of course,
there's talk about that AJ doesn't want to stay.
Right. And then there's talk of
AJ might be convinced to stay if some of his boys come in. I think
AJ's looking to wind down.
Probably.
And then there's talk that AEW, I mean, you can't forget, maybe around All In, they said they made a pact as a group that they're going to do this together.
Together.
But did we know who was in that pack?
I think Cody said it was him, the Bucks, Paige, Kenny, and Marty. Now, so Marty's only under contract.
They might all be in it together, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're all in it together at the same time. Like, when Marty's deal runs out, whenever that is,
yeah, I think it's the end of March.
He'll probably go.
Oh, absolutely.
So Kenny Omega might, you know, do his thing, and if they're all getting guaranteed to be getting paid, like, why the fuck not?
They're definitely going to get paid, and I think it comes down to this really weird thing in life. This is an opportunity for you to make history, to build your own legacy.
And I'm guessing that most of them, if not all of them, are pretty financially okay.
I think they're all financially okay, and I think that's part of it.
Is a guy like Hangman, like, financially okay?
I think he's young enough, think he does.
This run has done enough for him where he could be like,
I think just being in New Japan alone.
Okay.
And the t-shirts and shit, I mean, you're getting something from that. But it's very much like, do you want to go and be in the WWE? It's everyone's dream. We get it. We've talked about it before. Do you want to make something of your own? Like, Elite Wrestling becomes the number two wrestling promotion, they have a TV deal, and they're thriving, they don't necessarily need to compete with the WWE. Everybody knows WWE, King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely that somebody catches them. I'm not going to say it's not a possibility. If any group can do it, though, and if it's done right, this is a possibility.
And you're going to have guys whose deals with WWE are up, who are at least going to reach out to Cody and are at least going to reach out to these guys and say, like, hey, do you have interest? And if they say yeah, then WWE could potentially, I'm not saying guaranteed, but they could potentially lose a lot of people that are just kind of treading water.
They absolutely could. Look, the WWE product sucks right now. When I met you at the Brown Bear, and I said it to Tony when I got here. If I didn't do this podcast, I wouldn't watch the WWE at all. I would just watch the monthly pay-per-views, because you really don't need all the other nonsense.
It's getting a lot tougher to get through. And it's to the point where, like, if I don't watch it or if I just have it on in the background, it's not my objective to, like, go out of my way to watch. Because I know it's the same thing. Like Alexa Bliss started a talk show. All right.
Yeah, we've been there before.
I don't care.
With The Miz, with Jericho, with Piper, with Shawn Michaels, with Jerry Lawler.
And I appreciate they want to do something with her while she's hurt, and it will probably lead to her coming back to the ring. But it's just like, Cody focused on, they want the best athletes in the world. They're going to give us And if there's and I will there's if there was one criticism I could say about AEW is that what's going to make them different than what we saw with them in New Japan and in Ring of Honor? Like they could be different than WWE, but what's going to make them stand out overall as opposed to New Japan and Ring of Honor? Because to me, this had a very, other than our friends MJF and Janela being on it and Pac returning, this had a very, like, I'm thinking I'm watching like a New Japan thing just because it's all them.
So you're thinking it's like same old guys, just a different ring.
So
and different band.
They're going to have to do something not only to stand out from WWE, but make them think that I'm not watching New Japan or Ring of Honor. Which I think is going to be tough to do.
All right, but you're saying that as a guy that watches and knows them from these other promotions.
Right.
But now they've got the billionaire backing. Maybe they've got a national TV deal in the pocket that we don't know about. It's the exposure. We've talked about this a bunch of times. If you don't have that TV exposure, it's real hard to get your name out there. Now, we all know New Japan because we're in. You saw me. I stopped myself. Yeah.
Because we're in the business.
Well, but I mean, but this is our business.
We're
our
in
business
the know.
To watch
we're in the know, yeah. Fair
professional
enough.
Wrestling from all around the world, really. I mean, I know I'm the Mexican correspondent, even though I don't speak Mexanese. But we know about New Japan. Like, they may not know. Like, they may have heard of Kenny Omega. Maybe they never saw a New Japan show.
Right. If you so let's just say hypothetically All Elite Wrestling gets a deal on TBS, right? T3 decides he's going to turn off Fortnite, and he's fucking flipping channels one night.
And he's not scrubbing laundry in the yard.
Right, and he's not out back.
With the wash tub?
Yeah. He's flipping channels, and he sees wrestling. He knows wrestling. He's watched WWE.
And he sees the Young Bucks flying over the top.
But
he
doesn't watch
Brothers.
New Japan. He doesn't watch Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that's
you know,
fair.
But he knows Dad likes wrestling. Dad does a wrestling podcast. Dad, come check this out. I found this new wrestling. Like, that's all it takes.
And then it's, hey, that's the Young Bucks. You know those guys? Do I know those guys? I'm in the business.
You're in some kind of business.
Oh, I'm in a lot of business.
So, yeah,
all
I mean, that's definitely a fair point. I guess I'm just, like, so conditioned to being, like, WWE marketing for kids. Like, will they be able to get kids to watch? Like, do you think that they will be?
Sure, if
like, I believe that they can, too. Don't get me wrong. It's just I'm still, I guess, brainwashed to the way that WWE has done things in this country for God knows how long.
I feel like the last couple of years, the way WWE is doing things, it's just so boring. And it's so inconsistent.
To us, as adults.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but at what age do you stop believing in Santa Claus? Like, and you figure
that's
a
very good.
And when do you start, like, figuring out, like, wait, last week this guy was doing this, and now this week they're friends for no reason?
A very good metaphor.
You know, like, at some point, you're going to feel like your intelligence is being insulted, and you're either going to stick with it because you love professional wrestling like the three of us have, or you're going to look somewhere else for it.
And AEW's
an alternative. Ring of Honor's an alternative. New Japan is an alternative. Impact's an alternative.
Hey, I also heard, aside from the fact, let's get a news and note, that Impact officially switches networks this week, and I don't think we're going to be seeing Impact, at least on Xfinity.
If you have Fios, you can still get it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
But it's also going to be streaming on Twitch.
Oh, that's right. But that's another thing. It's like now you got to go find Twitch. How many people just know about Twitch and go, hey, there's wrestling on Twitch? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if you're watching Impact.
Although, but on the other side.
It will hurt them to get new audience members, but hopefully it helps them retain.
Like I've said, if you're flipping through the channels and you come across wrestling, you're more than likely to watch it there than you are to go look for it if you're a casual fan.
Now,
Ring of Honor, aren't they getting a new deal? Isn't Sinclair getting potentially bought out?
I heard some crazy shit too about that.
Yeah, that, like, they were getting picked up and merged or some nonsense with a huge.
It was definitely in our markets. Was it? It wasn't like the Yes Network, was it?
See, I don't remember, and this is bad reporting on my part, but I do remember hearing.
Well, we're not
something
reporting;
about
we're
this.
Just repeating reports.
Well, we're repeating.
We're report. No, I guess we are reporting.
Kev, we're in the business.
Yeah,
we should know
that's
this
right.
shit. Holy fuck.
No, there was some rumors that they were going to get picked up by bigger networks.
And that's a bigger opportunity for them. More eyes on the product, more people casually flipping around. Going,
dude, like, wrestling was coming back. I don't, like, not that it ever really left, but You look at all these guys that have some sort of TV deal, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's, you know, MLW down in Florida, whether it's Championship Wrestling in California out there. Wrestling's on TV.
Long story short, and I don't know how we if we talked about this on the air or not. I got rid of a cable box and got a Roku stick. Roku stick had this pop-up that said, Pluto TV, free television. Okay, let me give it a shot. I download it. Motherfucking thing's got not only the Impact channel, but they got the AAA channel. So I'm watching old school, like, Impact Wrestling, old school AAA.
The Game channel.
And it was recent.
To the Triple H or the Triple A channel?
AAA, yeah.
Oh, Triple A.
Did I say Triple H?
Ah, I thought you said it was.
Yeah, it's lots of matches.
Triple
with
H channel.
Duke the Dumpster and High Knees and all that shit.
Hogpen match.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so I download this thing and it's like AAA from like 2004, 2005, but it's got recent Impact stuff. It had Falaba challenging Austin Aries for the title. That's within the past year. So they've even got some recent stuff on this thing. And it was free. It was free to download.
Yeah, you could pull it up on your, I looked it up on my computer after we went out Saturday.
And you could get on your PC.
Yeah. There was some Impact show was on, and I want to say.
I was watching an Ultimate X with a six-sided ring. I forget who was in it. Oh, Amazing Red was in it. Homicide was in it. That's how long ago it was. But it was so cool. I was like, I remember this shit. I think we even talked about Shane Douglas and Raven in the hair versus hair match, no?
Yes. You did, yes.
All right, well, there you go. Then sorry if I brought it up, but definitely check it out if you have a Roku or if you like to stream on the old PC box there.
Don't ever be sorry.
All right.
Chris Jericho has officially signed with All Elite Wrestling.
Is that it? Is that the professor signing with him in that video?
I don't know who that is.
I can't tell, but if
he's got his AEW gear on, though, and Jericho is signing his life away.
Do we want to get into other wrestling stuff before we take a break? I mean, we're way away from a break yet, but do
yeah,
you want to switch gears? Do you want to talk about,
Well, we can stay in the AEW realm of things.
Yeah,
and
do
we
the
talk
Wrestle
about
Kingdom stuff?
New Japan Pro Wrestling's, Wrestle Kingdom, which was held Friday morning, 4 a.m.
Were you up with Phil watching it?
I was not up. I had to work. I was not one of the marks like Vince Russo called everybody. Where I quickly responded and saying, if it wasn't for us marks, no one would know who you were.
Yeah, and you would say...
he's a fucking hand job.
Did you tell him Owen would still be alive?
Oh, God.
No, I should have, though.
Did you see the Twitter exchange? I think it was between him, Bully Ray, and then Velvet Sky had, like... Velvet Sky is who's Bully Ray's married to, right? Had the best response. It was like, are people waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch this? Like ECW was. He was like...
Right.
And then, or are they just still up? Just watching it. Like, no, like, yeah, if you wake up to watch it, yeah, it might be.
Why, I did that last year.
I would do that, but, like, most of, like, ECW fans were already up.
Sure.
To watch it. So most New Japan fans are already awake. Like,
oh, they're not.
You don't think so?
That show is 5 hours long.
You don't think the New Japan
fans
in the
US. It's a lot of cocaine, Kevin.
I don't affiliate. Or assimilate or associate cocaine with
the
Japan
fans. When was the last
time
you stayed up for 24 hours?
A very long time.
It's not easy to do.
I tried. I was awake, though, for like, I watched Ospreay and Ibushi. I watched as it happened, and then I fell asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
unless you're on the West Coast, right? So a 3 a.m. start for us, even 4 a.m., is still 1 o'clock at midnight on the West Coast.
Yeah, because the pre-show was like,
it was like a 40-minute match.
That was at the Gauntlet match. Yeah. Did that start at 3? I could have sworn I turned it on at 3 and Ospreay and Ibushi was on.
I didn't watch it live, so I would be lying to you if I
could. I'm pretty sure it started at 3.
The pre-show.
No, when I watched, when I went on, you know, New Japan World, 3 o'clock, I got Ibushi and...
Oh, maybe the pre-show started at 2.
I think that's what it was.
That's still late.
I know, it's very late.
You know, so if you're going to, and it's not like a 3-hour WWF pay-per-view. Like even
Which
if
aren't
you
even
missed,
3 hours anymore. They're
even
like
if you missed
hours.
A pre-show, that was still a 4 hours and 15-minute show.
Yeah.
So if you're catching the pre-show, when I watched it on demand the next day, when I got out of work, it was 5 hours.
And I think I told you this. I was like, dude, like I can't get into this. When we had our meeting, I was like, dude, I tried. I had to watch it in, like, segments.
It was a very good show.
Yes, agreed.
I don't think it's one of the better Wrestle Kingdoms in the last couple of years, But I don't know if it was the match order or it just was very, very long.
I think it was a lot of, again, I don't watch it all the time. I try to watch the big events. So, like, it seemed like a lot of the stuff, like, how many, like, triple threat, or, like, how many triple threat, like, tag matches were on this show?
Like, well, there's the gauntlet match and then the two tag title matches.
So, that's like, I don't know.
I think it was the idea looming over the air was all these guys are done. Being the Elite's already been announced, or All Elite Wrestling is announced 2-3 days before the show. So you know the Bucks aren't staying around. You know Cody's not staying around. You know Hangman Page isn't staying around. So that's already in the air.
Yeah.
Right? Last year, the whole Kenny Omega's going to leave thing, you were still like, he's not fucking leaving yet. This year, it's a little more, he could leave. You know, everyone knows Kushida. There's been talk, the rumblings that he's looking to leave New Japan Pro Wrestling too and go to the States. So all that is in the air. And Jericho's name has been mentioned many times with All Elite Wrestling. So I don't know. I feel like that being there may have taken away from the event itself. And the card wasn't bad, but I don't think it was as strong as it was the past couple of years.
Well, how is New Japan? And I think from what I've seen, I'm pretty sure, and if anyone's listening to this live on the Rant AM Radio or WLive.net, is New Japan good, better at making new stars? So, like when
I think absolutely.
Okay, that's fine then.
I mean, then
I have faith in them. Then
look at what they've done in the last year and change with Jay White. Yeah. We were seeing Jay White at Ring of Honor shows, and he was wrestling in 6-man tag matches. I mean, he beat Okada.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whether it was because of Gato being outside, and he still beat Okada, who was the longest reigning New Japan Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion with the most successful defenses for a very long time.
I like Jay White. I like this gear.
I love the Switchblade character, and I love that they put Gato with him. The whole storyline where
that heel turn, right? Yeah.
He denied going into the Bullet Club, and he hit Kenny with the Switchblade back at New Year's Dash last year. Then he joins Chaos, and he turns his back on them to reform the Bullet Club with the Firing Squad. Tama Tonga
and all those
guys. Like, it's great storytelling.
Yeah. All right. So then I definitely, like, but going back to the atmosphere of the show with all these guys already on the way out. So yeah, maybe that did take
it
away subconsciously.
So long.
Yeah.
Like other Wrestle Kingdom shows. And again, it was a good show. I give it an A.
Yeah.
But the pacing was just weird. And I thought it was weird that all 8 titles changed hands.
That's not super crazy, though, is it? Because I'm
super crazy.
I remember, like, one of the first Wrestle Kingdom, I'm like, do they? There's a lot of title changes.
Because usually it's the blow off, it's the end of a feud, but not every single title on the card changes.
Well, then again, a lot of these guys were leaving, right?
A fair amount.
Yep. So
a fair amount.
Sometimes it's by necessity. No.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you have a point there.
Seriously, if Kenny Omega's leaving, you can't keep the title on him. Am I right?
You're right.
You're right.
No, you're absolutely right. But you saw, like, Zack Sabre Jr., who's a huge star. He's starting to emerge. Jay White, as we mentioned. LIJ is stronger than ever. Naito, Bushido. I love Shingo. I love the fact that Shingo's in LIJ. Sonata, they might be my favorite tag team.
I hadn't watched a New Japan show, and I think since Shingo joined LIJ,
right?
So that was cool to see, to catch up on that. So again, not a super huge New Japan follower, but I always enjoy watching Wrestle Kingdoms. But this one, like Matt said, super long, and I literally had to watch it in, like, as each segment that I watched was like a new episode, because it was just too much.
Did you see, and you watched the Ospreay match, bro? He legit knocked fucking Ibushi out.
With the elbow?
Oh, Ibushi had a concussion.
All right. I just thought they were really good at working people, because they did that. They go ahead and put ice packs on everybody after the match,
bro,
and
he was
stretching people out.
He knocked him the fuck out.
That may have been my favorite match on the show.
It was a great match. An absolutely amazing match. The reports from New Japan. Let me find it here. I have it in my notes.
That was probably my favorite match. And listen, I'm a huge fan of the high spots. Don't get me wrong. I love them. So I love the flippy doos and all that stuff. So that was very fun to watch. And it was the first match. It got you set. It got you ready.
Sorry. I'm looking for
where. No, it's fine. I was just burping at the same time.
Did I save it in here? Oh, here we go. Ibushi has been diagnosed with a concussion following his match. He suffered a concussion. It's not serious, though. He was stretchered out after the match.
Yeah, he was.
And then
I just thought they were really cool about working the finish of the move.
Even
like the
Ospreay,
effect of the move.
Even Ospreay put something up on his Twitter where he had said that he was what the fuck did he say? Something like
what are you going to do?
New attitude, same result, or something like that.
Ah, he's working it.
So Ospreay is the new single, new never openweight champion. Bushi and Shingo, they won the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championships. They took the titles off of Suzuki Goons, Kana Miura, and Desperado, who were going for – they were going to break the Young Bucks record for longest title. Zack Sabre Jr., he captured the British Heavyweight Championship by beating Ishii. LIJ, Sonata, and Evil beat Bad Luck, Jesus Christ, the Gorillas of Destiny and the Young Bucks for the IWGP Tag Team Championships. Juice beat Cody for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship.
I still can't get behind I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't get the Juice Robinson either.
I don't understand. I want to. But I just don't. Maybe they take to him better than like Americans.
Oh yeah,
the
Japanese people love him.
So I just don't. I don't see it as. I see him as like a good worker and a fun, entertaining guy.
Was the Golden Lover guy there?
Yes,
we just talked about
him. He just got knocked out.
Oh, he's the guy.
Yes,
I watch a lot of Japanese wrestling.
Not 2019, Kevin.
We're working on it.
It's my resolution.
Ishimori. Beat Kushida for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
IWGP Junior.
Bone Soldier, baby.
Bone Saw's ready.
We mentioned White beat Okada. The no disqualification match where Naito and Jericho beat the
piss actually,
out
this
of each
might
other.
Have been my favorite match.
This was
between
a really
this
good
and
match.
The first one.
And then Tanahashi, he becomes the IWGP Heavyweight Champion by beating Kenny Omega.
Was Jericho fat?
No, why? Everyone keeps fucking asking that.
No, I'm asking because someone else asked, and it got me curious.
I didn't even notice, and
listen,
then I had to go back and look, and no, I don't think he's fat at all.
Listen, he's not Jericho of 1999 or 2009.
No, but the problem is he's got Kofi tits now, and it kind of like any kind of...
Bro, he's pushing like 50.
I understand.
And didn't we get to the problem with the Kofi tits is
yeah,
that it's nerve damage?
Yeah, it's we've doctorified that up. We... You know, had our medical analysis.
Listen, if I'm Chris Jericho, I don't give a shit what people think. I'm Chris fucking Jericho.
I just thought it was awful, like watching him at the press conference afterwards, and his face like it was three times the size of it normally.
So, I'm not gonna lie,
all fucking swelled up.
He didn't look like Chris Jericho from 15 years ago, nor should he. Or he's, 5 or 10 years ago, nor should he.
His face looked like Artie Lang when he was in court with his fucked up nose.
God, Artie Lang's nose is a grower, not a shower.
Oof, it's fucking terrible is what it is.
Chris Jericho is 48 years old.
Yeah, well, you know.
If I look like that in 11 years, it'll be a blessing.
Yeah.
If I'm alive in 11 years, it'll be a fucking surprise.
To me, too.
Right?
Me, too.
At least Kevin knocked on wood, you fucking jerk off.
Circulation. Oh, yeah.
This is like fake plastic shit.
Tanahashi winning the IWGP.
Oh, my God. Didn't you say this like three times
Heavyweight
already?
Championship? That's the eighth time.
See?
He is like their John Cena, though. He's like 42, man. He's been around for a while.
And everybody boos him, too.
No, it's so funny that I didn't realize that.
Oh,
that
you cannot see
eight-time IWGP. And when I obviously, you listen to the American commentary, right? Obviously, the English commentary.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it JR?
No, it was Don Callis
and Kevin Kelly. And Chris.
And the British guy.
Jericho.
Chris Carlston?
He's British, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't gauge what he was.
Hello.
And then,
Kevin can't tell where I'm talking from. Yeah.
Your ass. You bum. You bum looker.
You bum.
You dirty bum looker. So, yeah, but Tanahashi, I didn't realize he was that major in terms of... I mean, I knew he was a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But 8-time IWGP champion. Had no clue. Because they said that he's the kind of guy that he's kind of like he resurrected his career. Was he like kind of out down and out for a little while?
He probably had the John Cena storyline where like I have to prove myself.
He had a lot of injuries. Marred by a lot of injuries. Him winning the G1 was quite a surprise because he's a much older guy.
He's a fucking jack dude. He doesn't look old.
Yeah, he's, I want to say, let's see, 40 something.
And again, we're not saying that's old, but in wrestling, that's old. Just like in sports, 35 is old.
It's old.
In wrestling,
he's 42.
He doesn't look 42.
Goddamn, woo.
So, and he's the ace of
spades.
All right, what's the briefcase?
Is that the G1 winner?
Yeah, that's a good question. They do the briefcase gimmick now too,
When you win the G1, the whole purpose of the G1 has always been the winner of the tournament.
Yeah, but they never used to give out a briefcase.
I'm sure in the last couple of years they started giving out the briefcase.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
It's just a fucking prop.
But is he cashing in anytime he wants?
He just gets, because the contract is in the briefcase. That's the story.
So
it's not like he can't cash it in whenever he wants.
So does he have to grab it from a ladder to... Is it?
Can he lose it if he defends it?
He can lose it.
If he tries to bring it in, but the ref doesn't ring the bell, does he?
No.
Does the other guy have to like answer the referee and say he's ready to go?
Hate you.
Is it dishonorable if he challenges someone at their worst?
No.
Okay,
did he get a bigger pop than Dolph Ziggler when Dolph Ziggler cashed in his G1 briefcase?
No, because you knew he was going to... You fucking assholes. Done with this.
See, New Japan is like WWE Lite.
I'll hit you in the head with this fucking bottle.
Tanahashi, just like when John Cena won a briefcase, Tanahashi wins a briefcase. Did he beat... what's his name? Mizdow. To retain.
No. He won the G1. Fuckers.
Did he fly out on a G6?
Yeah, he did. Like a G6, baby.
Did he get broken in
half?
That was my
Tony joke for the night.
I fucking hate you both.
8-time champion, huh? That means he lost it 7
I
times.
Knew you were going to say that.
He's a fucking loser. A 7-time loser. You suck, Tanahashi. Woohoo. Eat my balls, dick. Look at me. I've never lost the IWGP title. How about them apples, you fucking cocksmoker?
Oh, wow. That's some strong words.
Felicity Huffman's joining us to talk about her period.
Priscilla Kelly, you blizzard.
Oh, brother.
Fucking asshole.
We have a couple other newses and notes.
Sure. We can.
We
I want to stay in the New Japan Pro Wrestling
Let's
world.
Let's do it, baby.
There's a lot of news and notes.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Oh, and I don't know, you're a belt mark jerk-off. They gave Zack Sabre Jr. a brand new British heavyweight title belt when he beat Ishii.
I like that belt.
Did it have all its teeth?
Did you?
Abu. Abu.
Abushi. Kota Abushi.
What do you call Fuck, I missed it. I had my old joke in my head I was concentrating on. I missed yours. What was it? Repeat it. I don't care if it's not funny.
I don't know which one you missed. I
no,
had
it
a
was
few
funny.
In there.
It was funny.
I was going to say, what do you call a fishy with no F? And Ishii. Because you know the joke, what do you call a fish with no I? What do you call? What do you call a fishy with no F? An Ishii.
Boo!
I knew they were bad.
Oh, God.
I'm excited, boys. Oof.
So, New Japan made a bunch of announcements.
Now I missed Kevin's joke because I was burping. Holy
he said
cow.
Tampons. Jesus Christ. New Japan made a bunch of announcements during the pre-show and the start of the regular show. This year's G1 Climax will be kicking off in the United States and Texas on July 6th.
Yeehaw!
They will also be G1 dates in Otaku. I don't know if I said that right.
That's in Texas as well, I think.
No, that's in Japan. The Wrestle King... New Beginning.
I'll be performing at Tierney's this Sunday night.
Come to the Oak Barrel.
The New Beginning USA Tour will take place in Nashville, Tennessee on February 2nd.
Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm the king.
I'm the king. I'm the king. Oh, we didn't play the New Japan guy singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town this year.
Oh, shit.
Damn it.
We got to hurry up. We'll get this out of the way. We gotta...
They also announced they'll be doing a show in London, England, August 31st.
Hello.
At the Copper Box Arena.
Oswald Copper Box.
And they announced that Wrestle Kingdom 14.
Copper Box.
Wrestle Kingdom 14 will be a two-day event next year.
I wonder if Billy Norton's ever wrestled.
You get the Copper Box when you lose the G1.
Can you cash it in anytime?
You cash it in anytime you want, because it's 2:30 and last call at the fucking bar.
You got a British
Commonwealth.
It's
the third place of boxes. All right. Sorry, all right. I'm done.
Are you guys good?
Yeah.
Good?
Wow.
All right, I got more New Japan news.
Better get
all this New Japan stuff out of the
Let's
way.
Do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, don't be sorry. This is fun. Kevin's crying. I can see the tears from over here.
I really am.
I have a small dick.
Sorry.
A couple guys have re-signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Chase Owens.
Oh, nice.
Juice Robinson. And Rocky Romero.
The manager.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
He wrestles from time to time.
Of Show and Yo, right?
Yeah, Roppongi 3K.
Roppongi 3K.
Bongi, bongi, bongi. Roppongi.
The day after Wrestle Kingdom was the New Year's Dash show. In the past couple of years, you've seen huge storylines unfold. This year, no huge moments like last year when Jericho attacked Naito. But it seems like we're setting up Suzuki Goon and LIJ program for 2019 with Tachi seemingly being the next in line to face Naito. And then, of course, Tanahashi looks like Jay White's gunning for him. So lots of cool stuff there. Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki look like they've got their sights set on Sonata and Evil. So we have that going on. And then Desperado and Kanemura look like they're going after Shingo and Bushi. So lots of cool things are being set up. Yuji Nagata, Tomoro Ishii.
I was just about to say, I popped to see Yuji Nagata on the pre-show.
Yeah, so they look like they're going to do something. Hiroki Goto and Jeff Cobb. A lot of angles looks like that's the direction we're going.
Well, didn't Jeff Cobb wrestle Ospreay on one of those next shows? Or was that – I thought I saw something on Facebook with Jeff Cobb. No, okay.
No, he did not. It might have been something overseas.
Maybe
a Rev Pro or something.
Maybe.
New Japan Pro Wrestling has announced several of the New Beginning shows, which is their next big set of cards that take place in February. Some matches that are interesting. February 2nd, Tanahashi and Okada against Jay White and Bad Luck Fale. Zack Sabre Jr. takes on Evil. Naito against Tachi, like I mentioned. Lots of good things coming up for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So just keep your eyes peeled, and if you're not signed up for that New Japan Pro Wrestling world, definitely do it. It'll be interesting to see what they do again without Omega, the Elite, Kushida, who will be having his last match against Tanahashi on January 29th.
I heard he was leaving, and he requested that before he left. Like, he said that was his only regret, something like that, and then they agreed to the match.
I'm going to find it for you right now. Okay. Sorry, I have a lot of notes here.
I'm not. Like I said, I've been poor so far in 2019 with the New Japan wrestling. So little tidbits and trinkets and whatnots that I found in my wrestling travels over the past couple of days.
Yes, he will be facing Tanahashi on January 29th.
Loving it.
You're loving it. Tony's loving it.
I thought you were singing the McDonald's theme.
I got it, Tony.
Kevin got it. Matt didn't get it.
I got it.
All right. You want to take our commercial break?
Let's take a commercial break.
This is exactly what we said. Okay. Let's do it.
What? Now we weren't going to say that we're taking a commercial break?
This is where you say your...
Training wheels.
Oh, my liner?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Back after this.
Hey, I know what you're thinking. Valentine's Day is coming. You need to get your significant other a gift. Whether it's a man, woman, or whatever he, she, or Zivzer wants to identify by, you can find any gift you're looking for by going to Amazon. But don't go directly to Amazon. No, 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 no. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as always. And your love for your significant other will get a little bit into our pockets. It'll help us out. It'll make us happy. And it'll make you happy. You'll be falling in love all over again. But this time, it's with the Shining Wizards.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
We want to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You can be one of those people. Just go to patreon.com/wizardspodcast and for as little as a dollar.
$1!
$1 a month.
$1.
Get a shout out on the podcast. If you spend $5, you get more. And $10, you get more. $20, you get a lot more. So much more that our $20 contributor, she's coming into studio. Woo! January 29th. She's going to do a show with us. Kathy Homer joins us January 29th.
That's post, right. Making her return.
Post-Royal Rumble show, Kathy Homer's going to be the fourth wizard.
That's right.
And all she had to do was give us $20 a month. So we want to take this time to thank those that support us. Kathy Homer, Mr. Crotzo, Manuel Crotzo, Sean Toe, big fan of Ty Dillinger, Cindy Ardone, Mike Martinelli, Rusinello, Danny.
Danny.
Yep. Danny, that's right.
Yeah, not Anthony.
Not Anthony.
Rusinello or Danny.
You know what?
That's
why not Anthony?
That's how you announce it in Japan.
Hey, Anthony, how about you give us a fucking dollar, bro?
Yeah. Let your brother show you up.
Show us some support. Give us $2.
Yeah, $2. Show your brother up.
Right in your brother's craw.
Stick it right in his ass.
I think that's everybody, right?
Speaking of sticking something in people's craw.
Right. Priscilla Kelly. Why does that not sound right when I say it in my
Priscilla.
Brain?
Priscilla.
Priscilla,
right?
Where did my sheet go? Did my sheet? There it is.
Oh, sheet?
I hardly knew her. Priscilla Kelly will be joining us in about 5 minutes. She's going to be calling in.
Now, is she related to Kelly Kelly?
That's a good... You know what? We'll ask.
Ooh, can that be part of our hot five?
If you really want to ask an ignorant question like that,
a really stupid and dumb question.
You are more than welcome to ask.
That won't even be remotely funny to anyone. There you go.
Boy, a man from parts unknown, parts unknown. That's his home. He's got a nice couch and he lives alone. Boy, a man, parts unknown.
And our boy, a true Prince of Pro, he comes through again on Twitter. He did a little research.
Oh, look at this guy.
The G1 winner first started getting his briefcase in 2012.
All right.
When Okada won.
All right.
Copycats.
So in your face. Fuck off in your face.
Fuck off in your face.
In your face. We want to talk a little bit about Mean Gene. He passed away. Passed away right after the new year.
Yeah. Last Wednesday, right?
Tuesday, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it was New Year's Day, which was.
Was it New Year's Day?
I think it was.
I don't know.
Maybe. No, it was Wednesday.
It was the second.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, the second. Yeah.
So Mean Gene, he rest in peace. I mean.
What a tribute.
Look at that, man.
He says, rest in peace, and he vomits in his mouth. Hey, too many Ogrelins tonight, sir?
There is no greater tribute than vomiting in one's mouth.
The WWE puts on a fucking hell of a tribute.
Hell yeah, they did. And he fucking deserved it.
But a tear to my eye.
I cried. I always cry at those things.
You're a fucking crybaby, though.
That's a good point.
Fucking sticking your face in the couch when you got here.
I had to make sure it was...
For $25, you can stick your face in the couch. Patreon.com/wizardpodcast
Don't start
For $30, we'll bring you to the source.
For $30, you can stick your face in Kevin's ass.
Right over the bridge. No, $30. It's going to be like $100. I'm going to need like a half of it. That's right.
Wow.
Really? All right, you heard it here first.
You get to eat bean boozles out of Kevin's ass for
$100. You said it. It's recorded.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
So for get 50 and you get 50 and someone
gets 50 and we get 50.
Yeah, someone gets to stick their face in your ass like Rikishi style.
Yes.
Patreon.com/wizardspodcast And your face is right.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
You get to eat bean boozles out of his
What's your favorite Mean Gene moment? Do you have a favorite Mean Gene moment?
So many.
One of my favorites was Hogan was wrestling Orndorff on Saturday night's main event. It was before the cage match. It was the one where Adrian Adonis got involved. And Mean Gene was trying to stop the Hulkster from going to the ring. And he's like, Hulkster! And he goes, out of the way, Mean Gene! And he picked him up, and he just turned to his left, and he kind of dumped Mean Gene out of the way. And Jesse Ventura was like, hey, he's manhandling Mean Gene. I thought they was buddies.
Fuck it! Ah, that was one of them.
That's a good one. But SummerSlam 89.
I like when he was training with Hogan.
Yes, yeah, Mean Gene Mania. Hogan wore the shirt when he came out on Raw.
Yeah, fuck the WWE.
Really?
And even like stuff that was like so bad, like obviously the gobbledygooker, whatever. But Mean Gene made that an enjoyable segment just because he was like so reluctant to do it, but he was still having fun with it. So
I think my real favorite was the Dr. D David Schultz interview from the AWA, where Dr. D's talking about going to San Francisco looking for a woman. And Mean Gene just fucking corpses completely. And he's like, what's wrong with you, Gene? And he's just laughing the whole time.
There were some funny ones that came up in that tribute that I don't remember ever seeing. And one of them was with him and Classy Freddie Blassie. And Freddie Blassie was like, Mean Gene, I want you to look straight into my eye. And Mean Gene's like, which one? It's just like everyone says Bobby Heenan was like the wittiest guy ever. Mean Gene is a very close second.
WrestleMania 1, where's your cane?
It's.
I saw some weird clip from him in WCW when he's with the Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah, and he calls him a prick, doesn't he?
He's like, what are you ass clowns doing? So, Mean Gene, rest in peace.
Yeah,
that's a rough one.
That is a rough one because he's like a wrestler. You can kind of like. You don't get over, but like you kind of can move. Mean Gene is like the guy that you want at like your family parties, like who's just hanging out. He's like your uncle. He's like your dad or something like that, or he's just like.
And if you want to get a good flavor for the real Mean Gene, not what you saw really on television,
get a vodka and cranberry.
Stick your ass and stick your face in Kevin's ass.
Even better, watch Legends House on the WWE Network. He was fucking hysterical.
Did you guys ever, either one of you ever have a chance to meet Mean Gene?
Never did.
No.
Nah, neither did I.
I'm sure he was at plenty of conventions.
I don't know if he was ever at conventions that we were at, though. I don't remember ever, because I would have made a point to go meet him, you know?
Right.
Like Howard Finkel always does Legends, and I always make sure to go say hi to him, bullshit with him for a little bit.
Ah, the Fink.
I like the Fink.
Who doesn't like the Fink?
Fink needs some DDP yoga, though, because the Fink got pretty big.
Well, is he?
Are you going to start attacking him?
No, I'm just saying. He just got a little big.
Isn't he, like, not well?
Well, Mean Gene hasn't been well for a while either.
Well, clearly not.
Didn't he get a kidney from his wife or something?
I thought he
like
got.
That?
Reports were that he fell, and that's why.
Oh no! Recently, sure, but the past couple of years, he's been pretty sick with kidney problems.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, but I thought Fink was going through some stuff as well.
Yeah, he was. I remember hearing that a while ago, but then we never heard anything more about it.
Yeah. So.
I guess that's good.
Mean Gene's been doing story time for the WWE Network. You know,
narrating story time.
Poor Mean Gene. Yeah. Rest in peace, Gene. Okay. Watch it. Just Google Mean Gene clips on YouTube. You have a baller. When you watch any of the pay-per-views from the 80s, he was a very, very important part of the show. He really helped tell the story.
Yeah, we always
did.
We always talk about, Gorilla. We talk about Bobby. We talk about Jesse. But, you know, right up there and probably above all of them is Mean Gene because...
As an actual interview guy, the best ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt. I wasn't a huge fan of him on commentary, but that's not...
Oh, he was terrible on commentary.
Yeah. With that's...
Everything was... Oh!
Yeah.
But as a stick man, interviews, no better.
There really hasn't been.
Nope. Well, because nowadays everybody just goes, Dean Ambrose, you're an asshole now. Comment? And that's what they do.
Grumble, grumble.
Like, Braun Strowman, you're going to face Brock Lesnar. And I'm putting the microphone away from me, pretending I'm holding it up. And
get these hands.
It was an art to what Mean Gene did.
He always prefaced his question with some sort of either background or some sort of story or some sort of thing that made sense to lead into the question.
And always knew how to keep the guys moving. Could get a great interview out of anybody.
And his we always talk about reactions. Like his reactions were better than his questions. Like when someone would answer, he'd always turn his head about. Like and move around and raise an eyebrow or do this and that. So it's definitely lost when you don't. If you're just an interviewer and you interview somebody and you don't react to the question,
he makes you
look like a dope.
He knew how to get people over.
Yeah. So his reactions were probably just as good as his questions. So.
Priscilla Kelly joining us at 8:05.
She's
mean.
She's running late.
By God! Woo! Jeez.
Other things
definitely like the debate has been going on. I think definitely the question was more iconic relationship with Hogan or Flair, because he's known Flair for a very long time too.
Well, I thought Flair was going to be a part of that on Raw because he was there from what I read.
Yeah, it was probably.
I thought it would have been cool if after Hogan did his thing, Flair came out and did his mean. Woo! By God, Gene!
It
would have been like both of them in the ring together. It would have been cool.
You're right, but I think for what it was perfect.
I agree. I'm not gonna.
And the way he's cutting the promo about the tag match, mentioning like the Warrior and the Macho Man and Mr. Curtis Axel actually gave Hogan a thank you for mentioning Mr. Perfect in his little tribute.
See, those kind of things always make me nervous. Like those and like the posters that everyone puts up on Facebook about wrestlers who have died, because you're always gonna leave somebody out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, and then everyone's going to be like, well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? Like, you can't, if you had a poster of every wrestler that died, it'd be like a billboard.
Yeah, I mean, he could have stood there and said, like, and Rick Rude was in the Royal Rumble, brother. And, like, you know, it could have fucking went on forever, unfortunately.
So that's why those things always make me uncomfortable, because there's always going to be someone or multiple people left out who you're like, you're paying tribute to all these dead wrestlers.
But he mentions them, and I'm like, that would have been awesome. Piper and Mr. Perfect, and then Andre as the special referee. That was
how's he gonna count to three?
Incredible.
Joining us
now on the Shining Wizards Hotline. She is Hell's favorite harlot, and she made quite the buzz in the internet wrestling community this past weekend. Miss Priscilla Kelly, how are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good. We're doing our thing over here. We're just going to cut to the chase because I'm sure you've done 100 interviews by this point. How are you dealing with all the attention you've been getting the last couple days?
I mean, I'm not new to the attention scene. I did a TV show when I was 14, and I received tons of attention and backlash and everything in between from that. So I'm kind of preconditioned to this kind of thing. I mean, obviously, this is a little bit on a bigger scale than that was, but still kind of the same kind of context.
Have you gotten tired of hearing the period jokes yet?
Some some of them are funny, some of them are cliche, and some of them are just redundant. But I mean, if people are making jokes and people are making, like, having fun with it, then I'm doing my job.
What made you decide? First of all, I'm going to put it out there. I don't know about Tony and Kevin. I loved it. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was hysterical. And it was unique. It's not something we've ever seen. And we've joked about it tons of times on the podcast.
Can I interject before you continue?
Yes.
I thought it was sexy as shit when you were, like, reaching down in there and, like, you were, like, looking for it. I was like, God damn, that's hot. I'm sorry. Continue.
We've joked about the first blood match, and it'd be like, oh, it'd be hysterical if somebody stuck their hand in their pants and wiped it on their opponent's face. I mean, where does the idea come from? Is it just like a, you need to push the envelope, or was it just like, you know what, we're going to pull this off right now?
Yeah, see, the thing is, it's not even about, like, oh, I want to shock the world. I literally just thought it'd be funny, and I've had the idea for months now. I've just been waiting for the right opportunity to do it.
Is there any irony in the fact that you were wrestling somebody named Tuna?
I mean, I think that added to it. I think it made it just a little bit more appropriate to do it with an opponent named Tuna. You couldn't really ask for a better scenario. It's a 21 and up show. There's no children there. It's a no ring show, for one. So there's no ring. You're just around fighting in this bar. And, yeah, you're wrestling a girl named Tuna. So, and I did. I gave her the Tuna.
It was awesome. It was unbelievable. And it took a little. This took place December 30th, so this took place before the new year. Did you know that it was going to turn into what it turned into? I mean, you got a public Twitter apology from Road Dogg. Jim Cornette lost his fucking mind because he's just an out of touch retard.
He fucking loses his mind over everything.
I mean, everybody chimed in. Were you expecting something to that degree?
Not at all. I spoke in previous interviews where I said that when you do these type of shows, you don't know going into it if there's going to be cameras. You don't know if it's going to be posted. You don't know going into these shows like what to expect, because there are a lot of shows that I've done that are bar shows that never see the light of day, the footage. So, you know, I didn't expect anything out of it, honestly. It literally was just, hey, let's go out. Let's have fun. Let's make this a hell of a match.
And let's get to the reaction, especially Matt mentioned the Road Dogg. Were you surprised when Road Dogg not only attacked the spot, but attacked your character? And have you since, either via Twitter or via social media, spoke with him? He has since apologized. What was your reaction immediately when he was the one that mentioned it, and then guys like Joey Ryan came to your defense?
I mean, there's been a lot of people say a lot of things, good, bad, negative, whatever. But I think that, you know, I expected to, you know, be called disgusting or gross. And if people weren't thinking it was disgusting and gross, then, you know, I wouldn't have done it if it wouldn't have provoked that kind of emotion. But I never think it's okay to attack someone personally, to attack their character, to attack them, on a human being, as a human being. And I think, you know, I think that's never okay, no matter the situation. I think, you know, if you want to make a comment on your opinion about it being gross, disgusting, that's fine. But, you know, don't attack me as a person when you don't know who I am. But he did apologize, and, you know, I appreciate that. But I think, you know, it takes 5 seconds to look at your tweet before you send it and say, is this kind of, you know, cruel? Am I attacking this person on a personal level? And, you know, if that's the case, maybe you should just keep your mouth shut.
Fair enough. And you've done, I feel like something that is getting overlooked is you're doing something amazing with all this publicity, is you're taking a portion of your proceeds from all your merchandise. I know you have a new shirt coming out, and it's available at darklight.com. That's DRKLGHT.com. And you're donating a portion of your proceeds to Freedom for Girls. And they provide safe sanitary protection to girls and women in poverty and unsafe situations. I feel like that's a bigger story than what happens. You're taking all this publicity and you're trying to turn around and give back. Why Freedom for Girls?
Well, Freedom for Girls, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how much we take for granted just everyday things in America that we have access to. I mean, you know, if it's my time of the month, I can go to a CVS, I can go to a store, I can grab what I need. Easy peasy. Women in other countries, they don't have access. They don't have the funds. They some women are even shamed for having their periods. They hide the fact that they even get them, and it's a natural part of life. And I think it's really unfair that some women have to do without a bare necessity. And I think with Freedom for Girls, like, donating to that cause is so important because people don't realize how big of an issue that is. I mean, there's a lot of issues in the world, but I think that one is one of the most overlooked, but very necessary issues in the world.
I think it's great that you're giving back. And if you're interested, again, Priscilla has a website, darklight.com, DRKLGHT.com. Every T-shirt you buy, she's going to donate the proceeds. If you're just looking to donate, GoFundMe.com/freedom4girls. And you mentioned being part of a TV show when you were 14, My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. And then recently you were part of the Mae Young Classic in 2018. So this isn't the first time you've been in the limelight. What can you tell the other independent women out there wrestling who maybe are afraid to push the envelope and get their name out there?
Well, I think a big problem with a lot of people in society is they're so terrified of what anybody's going to think of them. And I've said this on previous interviews, the moment you let go and you stop giving a crap about what people are going to say, think, or feel about you, is the moment life becomes so much more fun, and relaxing. And that's just the thing, is I don't care what people say about me, because I'm not doing anything cruel. I never say anything or do anything that could be considered cruel, homophobic, racist, you name it. You know, I go out, I have fun, and I be myself. And if people don't like me for me, then that's on them, because, you know, I'm a happy individual. I have a nice life and, you know, happily married, have my own place. None of these people and their opinions affect me at the end of the day, so I'm not going to care.
Okay, you kind of just answered that, but just to follow up on maybe the more professional side of the repercussions, was there ever a thought in your mind that maybe once, again, not just to mention his name just because he works there, but if a WWE saw this and you're just like, wow, maybe I blew my chance to ever work there full time, did that thought ever come into your head at all, ever?
Honestly, no. I don't think at all it blew any chance. And I mean, if it did, there's plenty more opportunity in the world of professional wrestling for me. There's plenty of other ways to make money in this business. Would I like to go to WWE? Yeah, I'd love to go to WWE. I'd like to go anywhere. I like making money. I like expanding my horizon. I like showing off my work on, you know, very large platforms. But at the same time, no, I don't think that, it really could have harmed me, because I think there's a lot worse things that have happened. Not only on TV, like televised, but I think there's a lot worse things that have happened privately about in wrestlers' lives. And these things are very public. And I think what I did is, you know, it's simply a stunt at the end of the day. And, you know, like I said, there's no cruelty behind my actions. And I think that is the most important aspect.
But you're very good at answering my questions before I get a chance to ask them. Basically, I was going to ask about the spot. Was there any deeper meaning to it, or was it just something that you thought would be entertaining and just a fun thing to do at the time?
Well, I mean, it's not like I set out like, okay, here's this, you know, deep cryptic message behind this spot. It was more so, you know, I've always loved pushing the envelope of what a female is allowed to do. Not only as a wrestler, but as a human being. I've always been the person that wants to blur the lines between, you know, what is and isn't okay based on your gender. You know, if people didn't push the envelope and explore and try new things and, you know, do things that can be considered controversial, you wouldn't have pop culture icons like David Bowie, Lady Gaga, Michael Jackson, Madonna, you know, Madonna, David Bowie, all these people that I speak of, they were pushing the boundaries constantly, you know, constantly creating controversy, constantly blurring the lines and gender roles. And, you know, and look at them today. They are pop culture icons, legends. They shaped today's views. They shaped today's society. And, you know, those are the type of people I look up to. Because they didn't care what anybody had to say about them. They just did what they felt they wanted to do. And that's what I kind of want to do with my wrestling, who I am as a person. I want to blur the lines of what's okay and what's not okay based on my gender. And I want to show people that you can do whatever you want. Just, you know, have fun with life and stop worrying so much.
That's a great point. I'm just curious. How does the conversation go with Tuna? How do you spring up a spot like this to your opponent? You say, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool. And is she on board with this from the get, or did you have to do a little coercing?
No, she was like, all right. I asked and I was like, hey, I've had this idea for a while. I think this is a good opportunity. You want to do it or no? And I said, feel free to say no if you don't want to. And she said, yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Was it shoot blood or was it working blood?
I won't answer any questions as to what the item was or what was on it.
Perfect. Have you gotten any like requests from like a tampon company to be like a spokesman, or like they send you like a bunch of products? Kevin's over here like, look, man, she's getting a ton of publicity. Like, why wouldn't like some tampon company like send her a bunch of free shit and be like, hey, just wear this t-shirt at a show or something?
I mean, honestly, somebody should start tagging a tampon company in my post, because if somebody just applied me with tampons for life, I'd be completely okay with that.
Can we get on there?
I'm on it. I'm going to do it when we...
On how
do
you...
Tampax. Let's do it. Hashtag yeah, Tampax.
I don't know anything about tampons. So
yeah, tampons are expensive. They're like $7 a box. Somebody hook me up with a lifetime supply, please.
That would explain why my mom was so pissed when I lit them and I thought they were firecrackers when I was a kid.
If you don't mind me asking, do you have a preferred brand? Because maybe we can get you.
No, if we're gonna tweet this out, we got to do it right.
That's true.
We don't want to get like an off-brand that she doesn't like, or, you know.
Like tampons.
Tampons.
I mean, as long as it's a brand, I don't really care what brand.
See, we're having fun with it, too.
Now, here's this is a serious question for you. I know you're a metalhead because you've done Radioactive Metal and they're part of the Shining Wizards Network. If you had to put one song to that video clip of what you were doing,
of that,
what song would you pick? Do we lose you, Priscilla?
Are we on hold?
I don't know.
It has to be a metal song?
No, it could be any song. I just figured, you know.
Well, I mean, I've got an appropriate metal song. I mean, if we're going to put it along to my video, it would be Raining Blood by Slayer, because it's very...
Fuck yeah.
That's very on brand.
I love it.
That works.
It works perfectly. For those not familiar, you got into wrestling through your brother, and he was a big into the Pirates, and for some strange reason, he had an Undertaker figure, and then you brought him a DVD set. Do you like regular Undertaker or like American Badass Undertaker?
I like the regular Undertaker. I like the spooky purple wearing, you know, when he had the purple all under his eyes and he looked just dead all the time. I like that Undertaker.
Did it break your heart when they did that dumb thing where they shaved his head and they put that terrible wig on his head?
No, the only thing that broke my heart, and I will admittedly say it, is when he lost the streak. That broke my heart, because that was the first WrestleMania that we ever went to live, and my little brother was with me, and when he lost the streak, my little brother cried as if he just saw his parents get slaughtered.
Oh my god.
So, oh mama,
look, that was a huge deal.
Of course it was.
It was really bad. My brother was very distraught.
I don't blame him. I was pretty distraught, too.
We all were.
I wasn't.
It was pretty big. I mean, I was more upset with the Montreal Screwjob, but that's just because I'm a Bret Hart guy. But that's neither here nor there. Priscilla, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy night. If you're not following Priscilla on social media, it's at Priscilla Kelly _ on Twitter. On Instagram, it's the Priscilla Kelly. She's Hell's favorite harlot.
That's right.
Again, every merchandise purchase that you get from Priscilla, she's going to donate a portion of her proceeds to Freedom for Girls. Get her new shirt at darklight.com, darklght.com. We appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything you want to leave us with before we let you go?
Yeah. My husband Darby Allin wants to say hi.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh! Darby Allin, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up, guys.
Woo!
That's it. So what's shaking, buddy?
Hello, kind sirs.
How are you, sir?
I'm beautiful.
How are you dealing with this whole tampon situation, sir?
All right. Well, first things first, if people knew what we did in our private lives, this would be the least of their worries of disgusting shit.
Okay, now we need stories.
That's awesome. Good for you.
I don't know. There's a time and place for stories, but goddamn, I don't even know what to start with. Shit cup. We'll probably think of shit cup.
Like two so girls, DJ, one cup?
DJ Z. You're familiar with DJ Z, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Is that a oh yeah or oh no?
Well, no, yeah.
The story is.
All right. Oh no for the story. Oh yeah for the dude. Okay. He was the DJ for our wedding, and then we flew him in from wherever the fuck he was. I think it was Chicago. So me and my friend from high school picked him up at the airport, but my friend from high school, we put in the back seat, so we acted like he was a sketchy hitchhiker, and DJ Z didn't even know who he was. So DJ, I'm like, yeah, DJ, I picked up this dude. He's a hitchhiker. And DJ's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And so we keep driving for like an hour, and then we act like we're dropping off the hitchhiker. And then we hand the hitchhiker, which was my friend, gave DJ Z a frappe from Dunkin' Donuts. But really, it was a big old cup of diarrhea that we were picking up DJ Z from the airport. And we were in the cell phone lot, and I had this shit really bad, and I didn't know where the toilet was. So I told my friend, like, give me that Dunkin' Donuts cup. It was empty, and I just filled it up with diarrhea, like, to the top. And it was a large cup, too. It was crazy. I wiped my ass, and then there was just toilet paper in the cup. And DJ Z thought it was, like, whipped cream or some shit when he saw it. And then he's all like – and then he had his nose is stuffed up. But, like, I could smell it. It was ranked. So I was like, DJ, I don't know if that's a frappe. I think it's poop. And he's like, I think so too. And I take off the lid and I take the straw and I go in and out. And you can see the consistency is just fucking shit. And he's like, yeah, that's fucking shit. And then he's like sketched out by this like hitchhiker. But, yeah, but that's like, I don't know. But even then that's like a weak ass story. Cause there's so much other random shit.
Oh my God.
But,
what causes that much diarrhea?
I don't know. I think,
like a lot of Jack Daniels, because that'll get me.
Well, no, because I'm straight edge. So, like, I think it was just straight up, like, you know, it was the week of our wedding. So, like, we were kind of just, like, I was drinking a lot of, like, coffee just to be, like, kind of, you know, awake at all times. Because there was, like, a lot of planning that we were still doing days before the wedding. And then I was just, like, drinking a lot of coffee. So, I finally, it felt like it hit me at once in that parking lot. And I was, like, I didn't know where to shit. It was a cell phone lot. And then it's funny because I was taking the shit in the cup, and then this cop pulled up right by the car. And I was like, I was like, he's going to fucking see me taking a shit. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, why are you taking a shit in this cup? But he didn't notice that I was taking a dump. But my friend, like, didn't even get out of the car. He was just smelling a toothpaste bottle. I'm like, just get out.
What did you wipe with?
That napkin that DJ Z thought it was whipped cream, but it was just a white napkin on top of it.
Just one napkin and a cup full of diarrhea. God bless you.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and the DJ Z was totally freaked out. We told him it was fake and that my friend from high school and shit like that. And he was on edge all weekend after that. So.
Well, what, I mean,
you're shitting his coffee.
Can you blame him?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Holy cow.
You might be my new favorite person. I mean, I love your wrestling style. We've seen you a bunch at Evolve, but this is like, you're like the perfect guest for this podcast.
Yeah, maybe. I just did a podcast today and I told them a bunch of funky stories and stuff like that because I want to do more interviews with shit because I feel like there's a side of me that nobody even knows that's like...
Like, when you say you want to do an interview with more shit, you like more shit stories or like just more interview? Because we could do both with you.
If you want to do the top five Darby Allin shit stories, we can go there because...
I mean, I think me and Tony can put together a top five. I shit my pants in front of my parents once, so...
I shit my pants on the way to Christmas dinner.
We, real quick story, like, for ridiculousness, like, me and my friend and my... brother, we drove 5 hours from Arizona to Las Vegas with the windows rolled up wearing diapers and took Xlox and shit our pants the whole way there. We got videos of it. And whoever rolled down the window first lost and got smacked in the face with all the diapers. So no one rolled down the window. So we sat 5 hours straight having the worst diarrhea and it was like everywhere and filled up the diapers. And then, but at the end of the day, I think we're all losers in that sense. But,
oh God.
Well, and our fifth anniversary show, we were supposed to have a certain person stay at a hotel. He didn't come up. I went to the hotel and I proceeded to shit all over the hotel bathroom by accident.
By accident?
Yeah, it was by accident. I couldn't hold it. It was a. And listen, we'd be remiss if we didn't wish you a happy belated birthday.
Yeah, for sure. It was a good birthday. I had a good time. Me and Priscilla, I just spent it like for the first like day part of the day. I was just too tired. She was out. She was like gone, and then I landed at the airport at like 10 in the morning, and I didn't want to call an Uber because I was so tired, so I just slept on the floor at the airport for like 6 hours. But nice. After that, we met up, and then we had a nice birthday dinner, and then, yeah. So it was a good birthday. Good time.
Do you have a favorite place to shit?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm running with this.
God, I don't even know. I think my either, I don't know.
Like, are you comfortable anywhere? Can you just...
Yeah, if I wanted to.
Nice. Do you have a bidet?
I shit in a cup on 4th of July, and then some drunk dude like didn't know, and he accidentally drank it. So
that's amazing.
Oh my!
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
I don't know what to follow up with.
Darby Allin is a super talented professional wrestler.
Yeah, can we talk about that?
But shit stories are always going to be funny. Just so. You guys know out
that's
there.
A lot of shit stories.
Everybody shit.
Just scratching the surface.
Back in high school in Seattle, we didn't know what to do with ourselves, so we'd have a backyard fighting club. But the thing is, everybody would fight in a ring of dog shit, and the loser, like the winner, got like $5. So I have like videos of people just fighting in dog shit in high school.
Wow,
it was fun.
I shit my pants at a Target once, and I refused to buy new underwear.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, the fun thing with shit is people are like, well, what's so funny about it? Like, prank wise, I'm like, well, dude, if you think about it, like, you pay like all this money for pranks. Like, I don't know, but like, shit's free, you know?
Congratulations!
Exactly. God damn!
Holy fuck!
Turns are free. So
we're just not going to talk about wrestling?
I mean, do you want to talk about wrestling, or you want to talk about more weird shit?
I always love the weird shit. I mean, we talk about wrestling every week.
But it's just like I was going to film school in Arizona, and I dropped out because they wouldn't let me be me, because I just wanted to be a crazy person and film a bunch of crazy shit. But I don't know, man. There's a lot of just weird stories in life, but wrestling's awesome too.
Yeah, and you do some are a very crazy wrestler, by the way, because you don't give a shit about yourself, it seems like.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah. But you are. We saw that weird shit where they put you in a body bag and evolve, and we've seen you take some pretty crazy fucking bumps, my friend. Did you grow up a wrestling fan, or is this something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, I kind of did, but then I stopped being a wrestling fan because I just wanted to do like skateboarding. That's what my dream thing was skateboarding. And then I remember I was just like, I just thought about start wrestling when I was 21. I just thought about it. Like, yeah, that'd be fun to try, you know, because it's like, I like being in front of an audience, and I feel like it, and I like acting too, and I like film. So I thought, I was like, oh, it's like physical Broadway, you know? So like, fuck, let's just try it out. And then things just started happening really fast and everything like that with like my wrestling. And then I was like, trying to evolve like in a year. And I was like, damn, like, you know, I gotta like, I don't know. Everything just started happening fast, but I was kind of, but you know, I don't know. And it goes back to, with like what Priscilla kind of was talking about. Like I love filmmaking because there's so much, like you can be so creative, but I feel like a lot of wrestlers are like very small minded. And there's like some 10 commandments of wrestling that we have to follow, some weird shit. And then everyone loses their shit. If you think outside of the box, fuck them. Who cares? Whatever. But
what got you?
I just like being a creative person.
What got you into skateboarding? Who did you become a fan of?
Dustin Dolan, Lizard King. It's crazy. Like, just like people like that, which is crazy now because I get skateboards from Baker Boys, and it's like kind of like my childhood dream. So it's just like, cool. Like, we can, you know, do all this shit with skateboarding now, and, you know, and it's like, it's fun. So
the skateboards and the shit, you had to grow up a CKY fan, or at least know about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I was definitely a fan of all that stuff. It was fun because I felt like it was like, dude, who wouldn't want to make a living and get money off of being a loon? You know what I mean? Like a crazy person. So I felt like, you know, it's all like if I could get paid to be a crazy person, like that seems like the ultimate life because like, I never wanted to be just like a work like an office job. And I was like, damn, dude, if I can just get paid to be an asshole, that'd be amazing.
We spent a lot of our formative years watching the CKY videos. Do you have a favorite?
Probably CKY3.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. I like, you know, all that stuff. It's just really cool to, you know, go on adventures and like have crazy life stories and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, me and Priscilla have had a lot of those in our year and a half of dating and marriage. So it's fun to have a bunch of like, I don't know, it makes the more wild shit, the more I feel like I'm living life. So
we still sing the Skeletor and Beastman song every chance we get. One of our favorites. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, like we definitely want to film more comedy skits with me and Priscilla as like a couple, because as you know, she was on that TLC show, The Gypsy Wedding. Right. And then people may not know this, but I was on TLC set. Sex sent me to the ER. But what we want, I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but what we want to do is we want to do like a mock like comedy skit where it's like TLC stars, where are they now? And it's just like previously on TLC stars, where are they now? Priscilla Kelly of Gypsy Wedding married Darby Allin of Sex sent me to the ER. And we're just going to act like total like douchebags and like act like as if we are those people in real life, because obviously those shows are fake, but people for some reason think they're real. And they say, so it would be funny to like think about like, you know, it's weird that both of us were like on TLC in our before wrestling and shit like that. But
so wait, so Sex didn't really send you to the ER?
No, hell no.
What kind of goofy what kind of goofy story did they give you? Did you get your dick stuck in something?
No, I made it myself, and they thought it was real. So
what was the story?
I don't know. Look it up. It's a Sex MTR Cougar and Bees. You'll find it.
Cougar and Bees
on like YouTube. That. Yeah, find it.
Right, I'll find it. I'll find it. You just came off.
If you look at me, you're gonna. That's like when I was like 18. You're gonna see me in that video. Like, whoa, he looks like a fucking lunatic. I don't even look the same.
All right, tying this kind of back to wrestling.
Oh, boo!
I know. God forbid a wrestling podcast asks a wrestler about the sport that he's in. Let's talk about how recently your career's been going. It seems like every time WWE sends an NXT person to Evolve to do some work, your name always seems to be in the picture. Does that make you feel good? Does it make you feel indifferent? Do you not care? Is it just another opponent? Or does that kind of make you feel good that they're sending these guys like a Chris Hero to work with you?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I don't care. Like, it's like, because I'm not, like I said in my interview, like, I'm not, like, in my promo, I'm not a fanboy. It doesn't matter to me. Like, it's not like, oh, guess what? I'm wrestling NXT superstar. I don't give a shit. Like, I just, dude, like, honestly, I want comfortability and to, like, so that's like, if I want anything from it, I want to like be signed to a major promotion just so I can get my hospital bills paid and live a comfortable life with my wife. Because like, you know, there's people like on the indies that would just love to wrestle them. And then it's like, dude, I don't care to wrestle them. It doesn't make me happy. I want to fucking have, you know, I want to be where they are so I can live a good life and not have hospital bills that I have to pay and do. So yeah, I don't care. Like, it, you know, it's cool, but what good is it if you're not actually going to be there, you know? So,
honesty right there. So it doesn't do anything for you to show. It doesn't, like, there's no, like, good sign of good faith right there that they're putting them with you? Or is it, like, what makes you think that they always select you? Is it your talent? Is it your character? What do you think it is?
I think it's talent. I think, you know, I don't know. It's like if you see something in me and you want to sign me there, yeah, but otherwise I'm just like, don't just like think that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, like I'm hungry as fuck to get in, like, you know, in as far in wrestling as possible. And you know, like a lot of people, like I said, would be happy just to be wrestling them, but like that's not good enough for me. Like I don't care if I'm wrestling them. I want to, you know, want to be in the top spots of big companies, and you know, so it don't matter. Don't like nothing really matters to me. Like it's cool, like that they have the faith to have like put me in that spot, but like I said, if they don't view me as a superstar and they don't want to have me actually in that company, like what good is it to just sit on my ass and wrestle these guys? So it's got to be an end goal, and I'm too damn hungry in life to be complacent with that shit.
All right, fair enough. You'll be up in our neck of the woods the weekend, January 19th and 20th, working Evolve. Have they announced who you're working against yet?
I thought they did.
Fabian.
It's Johnny, right?
No, it's Fabian.
Ah,
there you go.
That's right.
Yeah, me and Priscilla, we're going to the film studio tomorrow, and we're filming promos and shit like that. And so, you guys can see what I have to say about Mr. Fabian tomorrow.
Nice. And if you want to see some of the stuff that Darby's already done, you can go over to his Twitter at Darby Allen. The promo video for your weekend against Cassius Ohno and Roderick Strong is an awesome piece. It's super dark and creepy, and it really speaks volumes to your character.
It's from the heart, you know, like everything I say in that is from the heart. Like I said, I'm not a fanboy, and I'm too hungry to just be like, thanks for the opportunity to wrestle these guys. No, I'm not going to stop, and I'm not going to be happy until I'm always like, what's next in life? What's next in life? I ain't, you know, very goal driven, so I don't want to, yeah.
We found your Cougars and Bees thing on YouTube, and we're going to play it after we get off the phone with you. Did you pick the name Sam, or did they give that to you?
That's my real name.
Oh, well, look at me. I didn't do any research. I didn't think we would be talking to Darby Allin tonight. This is all bonus.
Your running pantomime is amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's my stunt double. They got me a stunt double.
Oh. Really? That's weak.
Yeah, that's me doing the interview, but that's the sun doubles running from the piece.
Oh, boo.
All right. Boo to that. Are you big, are you influenced by like horror films or heavy metal music, or is this just you being you?
Just me being me.
It's fucking awesome.
Nice.
I love this. This is amazing. This is an added bonus. Darby Allin, it's been a pleasure. I'd love to have you.
You want me to hand the phone back to Priscilla? She's here. So
we can say goodbye to her too, I guess. That's fine.
Yeah, do you want anything? You want to promote anything? You got a merch store or something? Help pay those hospital bills?
Yeah, I'm actually getting a bunch of shirts in like next week. You can find them on Twitter or Instagram. But besides that, like kind of like every other week, I'll draw some weird shit. And then you can buy like my handmade drawings on Twitter or Instagram, and like I don't know, go on my Twitter and look at some of the drawings. There. New Year's resolution: pay child support. Maybe next year.
Can if we send you a picture of the three of us, and we pay you, will you draw a picture of the three of us that we can hang up in the studio?
Yeah, I will. I'll draw it.
Seriously,
I drew my wedding when I proposed to Priscilla. I drew her in my blood. So it's a lovely photo.
That's fucking awesome. Do you guys have a glass table at home?
Yeah.
All right.
Fucking wins the night right there.
This is amazing. Darby, thank you so much. Seriously, would love to get you back on, and I will send you a picture of the three of us. I would love Kevin's shaking his head. I would love a fucking Darby Allin drawing of the three of us slobs to hang in the studio.
But
I think
it
would be amazing.
Please don't make it out of feces. Please.
No.
No, I will not.
Blood?
I've never done doo-doo art.
Semen.
No!
There's a genre. There's a genre. He said that I won't do doo-doo art.
I bet you there is a genre, doo-doo art.
No, but before, like, I used to, like, drink, like, different, like, a gallon of, like, different gallons of milk, like, say that it's food coloring, like, red, blue, green, yellow, like, food coloring in different gallons of milk, and I would drink all of those, and then it'd make me throw up, and I'd throw up on art canvases and like do like throw up art. But that's as far as
that's actually fucking pretty, that's actually pretty cool.
Wait, you're all in with the puking, but not the shit.
I mean, if it, do you don't keep it, right? You take a picture of it and just send it, or is it?
No, it's on.
No, you seal it up so it don't smell no more. And
there
you,
it is.
I don't know.
That's what I was getting at.
All right.
Throw up on it.
That's fucking amazing.
Fascinating. Absolutely. At Darby Allin on Twitter, Darby. Thanks, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. We'd love to have you come back on anytime.
Yeah, Cowboys.
That's what I'm talking about, Cowboys. Yeehaw.
Are you going to phone back to Priscilla? Or,
if you want to.
Yeah.
Hey. Wait, hold on. Stop. Sorry.
Priscilla, thank you. This is like a double bonus. You were awesome. Your husband is amazing.
He's okay.
I mean, look, as long as you're okay with him, I think he's awesome. I could talk to shit stories with him all day.
I live with him, so I have to witness his shit every day.
Girl.
God bless you.
He always kicks the door open and takes a picture of me taking a shit. And I'm just like, I look so happy in the photo.
Yeah, you should make a book of that and sell it.
You could DM us at Wizards Podcast.
She can do her makeup. She always does her makeup in the bathroom while I'm taking a shit.
That must be delightful.
It's okay. His shits always smell way worse than mine, so it's like.
God bless you. My wife won't go anywhere near the bathroom when I'm taking a shit.
My wife is throwing up while I'm shitting.
Like on your.
Throwing up while
he's shitting. Not good at the
pump. That's
what you said. Just the thought of him throwing up. She's throwing up. Just the thought of him taking a shit.
All right. We have to finish our show. We have 15 minutes left, guys. You've been awesome.
Like he was laughing and falling down the stairs at the same time, wasn't it? It started like disappearing. Like, oh.
Us or us?
Or no, I think her. Right?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, did you push her down the stairs?
No, it sounded like one of you guys, you were laughing and then it started fading away. So it sounded like you were falling down the stairs.
Yeah, we have these cool rocker chairs. So we kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're old.
Guys, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks,
we're definitely going to do this again soon. At Priscilla Kelly _ at Darby Allin. My new favorite wrestling couple. You guys are fucking amazing. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Later.
See ya. That was amazing.
Did not see that coming.
Either did I.
That
was
great.
Fucking awesome.
See, I knew they were married. I would never be like, hey, can we talk to your husband? But she's like, hey, Darby's here. He wants to talk to you. Sure. Hey, I shit in DJ Z's coffee cup. Classic. Bingo. We hit a home run with that one.
Absolutely.
That was great.
You know, we only have to do a press release for the first half.
Oh, we could do the second.
We can get him in.
The headline. Darby Allin shits. DJ Z thinks it's terrible coffee.
Well, what do we? What's it called? Poop art? We just named the episode.
Doo doo art.
Doo doo art. Fantastic.
And this all came about because of the spot that Priscilla Kelly and Tuna pulled off.
Yes,
Bumblebee Tuna.
And it was like her booking information was on Twitter, and I checked with you guys.
You know what was funny?
I was like, fuck it, let's give it a try.
Like she was answering everything perfectly. Like she had an answer when I asked her, was there any problems with Tuna? No, she was cool. Like, matter of fact, like, no, like, well, this is, you know, no, she was in.
They did she did a Snowy's podcast?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Good for Snowy.
Yeah. Hey, you talk to the period girl, eh? Oh, shit. Don't bring her to Burnaby.
Sorry. The fuck's Burnaby?
It's one of those towns in
Saskatchewan?
Ontario, I think.
Edmonton?
All right.
Something like that.
Pretty cool.
Fuck, we got 10 minutes, dude. We got to do a speed round.
What did you think of Impact Homecoming?
I saw 3 matches.
Okay, what 3 matches did you see?
Well, I'll start with the good. The tag title match, LAX against the Lucha Brothers.
All right.
Awesome. I missed like the first 2-3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But they went all out. And the finishing sequence, and he got the pin, I was like, that's how you end the fucking match. Like, you hit him with 5 in a row. Bam, 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 bam.
Bigelow.
Done. Over. And then Conan came out, and he was like, I told you
the
it
was
going to be good.
Who came out?
Conan.
Conan?
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien?
Ah, that was a better one.
Whatever the fuck he used to do.
That was, what? You mean like Odale?
No, Conan O'Brien used to do the thing with his collar, and he used to go like,
"Keep cool, my babies."
I missed the masturbating bear.
All right, well, he's at AEW.
He's at Darby Allin and Priscilla's house right now,
making art.
Doo-doo art
with a glass table.
Doo-doo art. Okay, so the other two matches I saw. The really bad one was the women's tag title match. Oh, the women's tag match. It felt like they were in first gear and they never got out of it. There were a lot of sloppy spots. That Jordynne Grace, they were trying to make her too powerful and she just wasn't. It was like...
She's super strong, bro.
I know, but she wasn't able to pull off the shit she was trying. It's like, if you can't do it, don't do it. You're going to ruin the fucking mystique of your persona, which I felt they did.
Okay.
Honestly. And then the whole Rosemary thing, like, cool to see Rosemary back, but then all these dumb bitches on the top, like, nobody could attack her. Like, she fought off six different women on top. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're zombies and they only listen to Su Young's orders.
But the whole stare down with Allie at the end, it was like, Allie's trying too hard to be a zombie and it's not working. Like, it just, I don't know.
Zombie.
I don't like it.
What else did you not like?
I watched the title match.
Okay.
Brian Cage is known for being a big guy, but also a high flyer. He was just stuck in big guy mode. I think he was kind of kowtowing a little bit and letting Johnny Impact do all the big move around stuff. It just fell flat to me, dude. Like, I didn't completely hate it, but I didn't like it. It was just kind of there.
They didn't click.
And that ending.
The ending was atrocious.
Who were those monkeys in the front row? Like, that was terrible.
Oh, are you talking?
Like, the idiots that pushed him, and he pushed him back, and the referee spent 5 minutes talking to him?
That was the Survivor bullshit.
Wait, those guys were on Survivor?
The one guy was the winner, and the other guy was a friend, and they kept talking about it.
It
was fucking stupid. That was stupid.
Oh,
and
but you're talking about the finish with Killer Kross at the end?
No, I like that.
The finish
to the match.
Yes.
That weird when they were both on the ropes, and they couldn't get him up for the suplex or whatever the spot was. And he kind of got him up, and they just kind of fell back onto the mat.
And then he just got the pin out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was, like, weird.
It was fucking...
But that's what I was talking about. The same shit with Jordynne Grace. Like, she had somebody in a fireman's carry, and they were trying to put the other one, like on her shoulders or something. And it was like, no. You can't. You have to know you can do that and show that you can do that before you pull shit like that out. You can't do shit like that. And, like, it just looks awful. Not to mention that it's the ending of the match. Terrible. Oh, the other thing I did see was Eli and Abyss. Yes, I did catch the ending of that. Another thing, if you're going to use zip ties, have them shits ready. Know that you can use them. It fucking ruined the ending for me.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one.
Although, taking that fucking black hole slam in the tax, that was pretty badass.
Did you? He was like, shit, motherfucker.
And he just started yanking him out of his elbow, too. They
did
must have
you see the spot where he... Abyss threw him over the top rope?
Yes, into the tables.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and Abyss almost fucking killed himself,
too.
Yeah,
he did.
I don't know, man. It was just...
Oof. The X Division match at the beginning of the show, I really enjoyed. Rich Swann walked out.
I should have watched that one instead of the women's tag. But you know, I was in on the women's storyline.
I know. You walked out your new X Division champion. Willie Mack and Sami Callihan had a good match.
Did Willie Mack come out with the North American belt?
No, he did not.
That's terrible. Go
ahead.
Which is weird because I read that Billy Corgan was backstage.
Yeah, he didn't bring the belt out. Yeah, that's what else was there? A tag match you mentioned, the women's?
Oh, Taya won the title.
Oh, Taya beat Tessa.
Did Gail Kim get involved?
Yes.
Oh, terrible.
She was the referee.
It was
Tessa
terrible.
Tessa hit her a couple times, and then there was even a spot where Gail... was going to hit Tessa, but she moved and she walloped Valkyrie.
Terrible.
Good old wallop.
But Valkyrie walked out.
You like Taya without her braids?
Yes. I think Taya's sexy as fuck.
Yeah. She's Canadian, but she's kind of Hispanic, too. It's like a weird mix. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like her very much so. Thank
I just don't like when she starts going into, like, puta ghetto mode. You know what I'm saying? But
that means
whatever.
Shit's about to hit the fan, bro.
I know, that's but it. It's kind of like cliche. Like,
doo-doo art.
Yeah, due to art. Overall, the Impact pay-per-view was I really liked it.
Awesome?
I enjoyed it. It was awesome, yes. I'm sorry.
Give grades. Show your work.
I got to see I got to go back and watch the...
I'd give it a B+ just for that finish to that main event. left such a bad taste in my mouth.
So it would have been an A.
It would have been if you eliminate.
You like the women's tag match?
Yeah, I didn't see a problem with it. They were furthering really a story. Slowly. Rosemary coming back
was
awesome.
Sloppy too, man.
The stuff with the Survivor guy. I get it. You're trying to do this weird cross promotion thing. But if barely enough people are watching you as it is because you're on a channel that not everybody gets, and you're moving to a channel that less people get, but you're going to stream on Twitch, having the guy, I didn't even know they still did Survivor.
Yeah, but we knew Johnny Impact was on Survivor. That's all they've been talking about leading up to the Austin Aries shit.
Did you watch Survivor because Johnny Impact was on it?
I couldn't give less of a shit.
I couldn't care who less was on Survivor. I wouldn't watch it.
But they did talk about it. It was part of the storyline.
Sure, but there's
Aries.
No...
No, you're right. There's no reason to have that crossover.
We knew he was on Survivor. Not one of us watched Survivor.
Because I hate Survivor, dude. I was out after like the third season.
So
it was
just
20 years ago.
I hated it. I hated that he got involved. It was stupid. It was stupid. The ending was dumb. Killer Cross, he's a superstar. He's got star written all over him. They got to take the belt off of Johnny Impact. I like him. He's a nice guy.
He's a bad champion.
He's been on the show a couple times. We vended him once. Good guy. It's not working out for him, man. I think the fans don't like him. I think Brian Cage was more over. And I think Killer Cross is
Brian Cage was just stuck in a different gear, though, man. He wasn't Brian Cage. It was just
I think
weird.
Killer Cross is just a whole nother level, man.
He might be next. Oh, and Moose and Eddie Edwards, but I didn't see that.
Oh, that was good. That was real good. That was a very ECW vibe, especially when they went out into the crowd.
I feel like I'm doing everybody listening a disservice.
Did Dreamer get involved at all?
No. Okay. No. Alicia did.
Alicia,
whatever.
But is she crazy? Is she with Moose now?
She's crazy. She came down. Eddie was about to cane the shit out of Moose. She took the cane out of his hand.
And then
she did
Moose.
It. And then Eddie fucking walloped Moose with a cane shot. And it was great. They fought out into the crowd. There was no lighting over there. It was very reminiscent of 95-96 ECW.
Nice.
Where the camera just was panning and the ring was in the forefront. And then you could just see them moving through the crowd and people going crazy. And then they went up high. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Did you watch any of it, Kev? I want to give Kev a chance.
No, I didn't know.
Okay,
that's fair enough.
I wanted to give you a chance. Yeah. Do we want to touch on anything about Raw real quick before we go into our going home?
I don't think so.
We don't have to.
Nia Jax weighs 300.5 ounces, by the way.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that up.
She said she's a super bitch, and she was supposed to take a Hurricanrana off the apron, and she didn't fucking take it, and I don't know. She's terrible on the mic. She's terrible in the ring. This really solidified her spot as fucking awful. Sorry. It was bad. I do like that Seth Rollins had that little fierce tete-a-tete with Triple H, where Triple H is like, go get him, false count anywhere. I hate the fact that Bobby Lashley got involved at the end. Why is he wearing a fucking trucker hat when he's supposed to be beating somebody up? He just looks like a douche. Stop with the fucking do-rag. Stop with the headband. Stop with the hats. You're not a fucking badass by doing that. You look like a fucking idiot, and you ruin a fucking great main event. When the fuck did Dean Ambrose become a gay fucking sub? Seriously. He looks like he's a fucking twink that he's ready to serve his master with his fucking new look. It's terrible. His hair sucks. The chain sucks. The pants suck. He looks like a fucking low-rent Sandman without a shirt. It's fucking terrible, dude. Terrible. What else happened on this fucking shit-awful Raw? John Cena came back, and that was one of the bright spots. Can I at least say that? Fucking poor guy lost and got his ass kicked last year. Lost to The Undertaker at WrestleMania because he didn't have a fucking spot. And he's throwing himself in the fucking Royal Rumble again. God bless John Cena. At least he's fucking trying. At least he gets it. Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene was amazing. There was some shit with the tag teams, but the Lucha fucking brothers, or not the Lucha brothers, the Lucha douches were out there. So I said, fuck this
noise. The Lumberjack match.
Didn't even fucking care. Didn't even watch it. Sasha Banks was awesome on the mic, by the way. Even Alicia Fox. God bless Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
She takes a beating like a champ. That was awesome. Kira Hogan, Jesus. Ember Moon, they don't all look alike. Fucking Ember Moon, the entrance music is bad. Like, she's okay in the ring, but fuck that. And that's my Raw fucking recap. Was there anything that I missed before we go home?
I don't think so. I think you covered it pretty well.
All right, well, then I'm going home first. Apparently, Tony Schiavone this past week watched a video about a dog, like, getting abused or mutilated or some shit, and he got depressed. So take to Twitter, and everybody starts sending Tony Schiavone pictures of dogs being silly and happy and all gaga, and Tony Schiavone felt better, so much so that Lance Storm even got involved, and he started sending pictures of his puppies, and he said, we should have Tony Schiavone Dog Mondays, or whatever the hell he called it, every week, so everybody could be happy, and Tony Schiavone could check out pictures of everybody's puppies and dogs, and not Deborah's puppies. Kevin, take us home.
You know what? I'm going home with a phone call I got yesterday. A phone call from my two favorite superstars in the WWE, Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Let me tell you how this went, boys. Real quick, I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. First of all, I didn't even know I could still get phone calls. I thought my phone was dead. No caller ID. I pick up the phone, and I hear, yo, it's Riley Allen. It's Riley Allen, the Stallion. And I'm like, wait, what? What the fuck? Wait. And I'm, oh, wait, is this you fuckers? And it's like, yeah, it's Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, because I bought a shirt of theirs on a sale weekend where they promised they did the Pritchard gimmick with the phone call. Zack Ryder called me a fucking mark, and Hawkins said I could have just texted you. Ryder called me a mark because I brought the new Hasbro Maniacs Hasbro action figure guide. Completely called me a mark, but it was cool getting a phone call from my boy Brian Myers and Matt Cardona, a.k.a. the Supermark himself. I'm Riley Allen.
Take us home, brother.
On Sunday night, January 6th, the Buffalo Brothers, Nick Puffboff, Kevin Bennett, Danny Garcia, and Kevin Lockwood, all independent wrestlers, were involved in a serious car accident driving back from a wrestling show. They hit black ice and a guardrail, which nearly ripped the car in half.
Yeah, I heard that. That's terrible.
Absolutely
they,
awful.
They experienced severe trauma, both mentally and physically, and will be needing help getting through this recovery process. I know Kevin Blackwood and Danny Garcia had broken legs, and they both had to go through surgery. So they're
ear people, attachment. I'm sorry. Go ahead. This is your.
That's okay. People in the wrestling community have set up a GoFundMe. GoFundMe.com. Just search for Buffalo Brothers and donate whatever you can to these guys. They give their heart and soul to the pro wrestling community. They work Smash Wrestling. They work Limitless. They do a lot of stuff in Jersey. They're all over the place. Wrestling Has It Tomorrow. And give them a follow on social media. Puff is at Puff is God. Kevin Blackwood is Blackwood 666. Black is spelled with an X. Kevin Bennett at the Kevin Bennett. And Danny Garcia is at Daniel Tunis Garcia. Give those guys a follow. Give them a shout out. Just let them know you're thinking of them. All the support helps them get through this terrible time in their lives. Thankfully, they've all survived. And if you can donate anything, that'll make the future a little brighter for them.
You know what? Real quick, before we go, before we get to Kevin's plugs, Jerry Gray. He's a wrestler from the 80s. He's an ex-promoter. He's fallen on hard times. He's suffering from stage 4 colon cancer. He's got all kinds of problems, medical bills, lost his house a little while ago. So he's, like, pretty much living, you know, the day-to-day. If I've actually put up some stuff on my eBay page. It's Jay Scumbani on eBay. I got the links up on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. I'm auctioning our autographed definitive collection Ric Flair DVD set. I'm also auctioning my Jake the Snake Roberts autographed DVD-R set, which I also got from, WrestleCon a few years ago when we were there.
Yes.
So if you guys want, there's a couple days left on those. All the proceeds are going to Jerry Gray. So if you want some cool memorabilia, go check those out. Bid it up. Bid it like crazy. Let's help Jerry out and you get some cool swag to do it. Kevin, my man!
What's up?
Plugs.
Nothing till February.
Dumb fellas
podcast. Hopefully we'll be recording again soon. We're actually taking a show on the road March 29th. Venue and location to be determined, but the five of us will be hitting the road on March 29th. February 17th, back at Tierney's. February 20th, back at Brown Bear, my hotspots. And more dates will be coming soon, so keep an eye out.
And the Oak Barrel Pub, by the way, has got amazing Reuben sandwiches.
Beautiful.
And huge thanks to our guest tonight at Priscilla Kelly _ and at Darby Allen. I found Darby's Cougars and Bees clip, so we're gonna play that, and then we're gonna play some music to get out of here. So it's only a minute.
Stay tuned on the rant is coming up next if you're listening live, and we will check you out next week.
We were making love, and then the best dream became the worst nightmare.
What was that?
It didn't sound natural.
The reason I freaked out so badly when I saw that it was actually a beehive is that I am deathly allergic to bees.
The beehive?
All hell breaks loose. I just popped up naked, and I was taken off.
I'm like, I just gotta get to the car.
I just started running, like, naked. 1 minute, I'm having sex with this girl. That was, like, my ultimate fantasy. And the next thing I know, I'm running naked, the swarm of bees attacking me.
I could hear, like, thrashing around further behind me.
I was already running, and then felt like one stinger, you know, I was like, oh, no, I did not want this to happen. And then another stinger, I felt the first five stings, and then after that, my adrenaline just kicked in.
Angel!
If it hadn't been so scary, it would have been really funny to see him swatting these bees. And then I just really, I was like, I ran super fast.
I don't care if someone sees me at this point. Right when I hit the like parking lot, that's when I just threw on my boxers, booked into the car. Won't bubble, bubble, won't bamboo, tootie-fruity.
Bam!